Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, O you upright in heart. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. So rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. For the sunrise has visited us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Of old, God has shown himself to be merciful and gracious. He created the world. He led the sons of Israel out of Egypt. He fed our fathers with manna in the wilderness. He gave to them to inherit the land of the promise. He raised up judges and kings. He gave us victory over Goliath. He made his promises stand firm. God is the eternal philanthropist, the eternal lover of man. But God's people of old did not celebrate anything like we celebrate today. Today we celebrate that God's philanthropy has come in the flesh. So greatly does God love man that the Son of God was made man. This is a great mystery. The Son of God has a divine nature and a human nature, united and unconfused. From eternity, the Word was God, and then in time, the Word became flesh. We cannot grasp this with our frail reason, and any attempt to do so lands us in heresy. But we can grasp it by faith, and we can respond as the people did who heard the message of the shepherds. And all who heard it wondered. And the more we wonder at the incarnation of God's Son, the more wonderful it becomes. Certainly, Christ's divine nature in itself is a cause of great wonder. If anything in the created world causes us to wonder, then the divinity through whom it came into existence must be an even greater cause of wonder. The Son of God is more expansive than the sky, broader than the ocean, higher than the highest mountain, stronger than the strongest storm. He sees all and knows all and is everywhere. Yet an even greater wonder than all that is that the Son of God has inseparably united to his divine nature a human nature. He has done it in such a way that the lower nature was not destroyed by the higher, nor the higher nature impaired by the lower, and each nature retains its essential characteristics. Now this has led to some marvelous paradoxes. He who has no beginning had a beginning. He who cannot be contained chose to be contained. Eternal life put on mortal flesh. He who is equal to the Father took the form of a slave and made himself equal to us in every way, save without the corruption of sin. Long ago, man had been overcome by the devil, and now the devil would be overcome by a man. And not just any man. The God-man. As it says in Colossians chapter 2, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And by virtue of its union with a divine nature, Jesus' body can do things that other human bodies cannot do. In Matthew chapter 9, a ruler came to Jesus and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Can your human hand raise the dead? I know my human hand can't, but Jesus' human hand can. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent the disciples ahead of him in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. Our bodies can't do that. But Jesus' body can. In John chapter 9, Jesus saw a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. The blind man would probably thank us to keep our spit to ourselves, but Jesus' spit can make the blind to see. Now, all of these divine uses of the human nature show us what Jesus was constantly doing with his human nature. He was constantly using his human nature in an extraordinary way for our salvation. Jesus became a man under God's law in order to fulfill the law which we had transgressed. As the God-man, Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life under God's law. And as the God-man, Jesus had the power and authority to transfer his righteousness to us. And so, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And the wonder of the incarnation grows as we approach the crucifixion. For the God-man bore our sins in his body on the tree, as St. Peter writes. No man could bear the sins of another, but Jesus could. The divine nature could not suffer on a cross, but Jesus could. No man could wash away sins with his blood. But it says in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The divine nature could not die, but Jesus could. No man could take up his life again after dying, but Jesus could. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist cries in Psalm 98. For he has done wonders. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Our foe, the ancient serpent, finds his head pummeled into the earth under the second Adam's heel. The flaming sword turns aside. The cherubim move away from the tree of life, and we partake of paradise. And what better way to celebrate Christmas than with Christ's Mass? For here in the divine service, God continues his philanthropy toward man. Today you receive the body and blood of Christ. The body and blood that are inseparably united to the divine nature of Christ. And thus the wonder of the incarnation continues. No mere human body can forgive sins. But Jesus' human body can. No mere human body can be present everywhere. Yet Jesus, with his body, can be present in heaven and on earth, on our altar and on any other altar. No mere human body can be contained in its fullness in a piece of bread the size of a quarter. But Jesus' body can. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, O you righteous, for the Word has become flesh and made his dwelling among us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.